Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Our guest today on Let's Talk Pella is Pella City Administrator Mike Nardini. Well, Mike, as always, thank you for taking some time out this morning and joining us. We appreciate it.
Shailen, once again, thanks for having me today.
And, of course, we'd like to go ahead and talk a little bit about what happened last night at the City Council meeting. And one of the things was we finally were able to finalize some of the work with the underwater lights at the Aquatic Center and get that all wrapped up. And share us with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, last night, Shailen, as you mentioned, what Council approved was the final closeout and retainage payment to the contractors for underwater light repair project for the Pella Aquatic Center. And it was more of an administrative function rather than anything else as far as the administrative closeout. Overall, the project had a total cost of $796,000 to the City of Pella. However, as everyone is aware, that project has been substantially complete since May of this year. And so what you saw last night was just everything on the to-do list was completed. We were able to close out the project, receive all the necessary lien waivers from the city, and make the final closeout on the project and release retainage payment to the contractor of M&M Enterprises of $34,000. So from the council standpoint, that completes the project for the city and also approved the final retainage payment to our contractor last night.
And everything turned out well with that. We heard Councilmember DeYoung say that he was impressed with the way things looked out there, and from all indications that you had, everything went to plan?
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of a tricky repair doing a lot of the work over the winter, but everything went as planned. We were able to open up the facility on time and get the work completed in a timely fashion. So from the city standpoint, we were very satisfied with the project.
Very good. And as always, as we close up one project, we tend to move right on into another one. And a big thing that the council just started to tackle last night with some engineering agreements was with a sewer replacement project along 3rd Street. And if you could share with us a little bit about what that project will entail.
Yeah, absolutely, Shailen. What this project is the East 3rd Street sanitary sewer replacement project. And this piece of sanitary sewer that we're actually looking to repair is between P Street and Independence Street on 3rd Street. And as listeners may or may not be aware, this project was included in the city's capital improvement plan to address the DNR, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources mandates for the city to eliminate bypass events in the community. The timeline that we have for the project is we're looking, as far as getting the engineering complete, we're actually looking to put this project out to bid later this fall, right around October of this year. And hopefully, if we receive the adequate bids in the necessary time, we'll be able to commence the project sometime in the spring of next year. We're looking at a tentative completion date of September of 2012 for the project. Overall, the project has an estimated cost of $199,000. The agreement that we've approved by last night with council was with Howard R. Green. It was for the engineering portion of the project, which was roughly $42,000 of the total project cost. So once again, we're looking at replacement of the sanitary sewer on East 3rd Street from Peace and Independence on East 3rd. Overall cost of $200,000, and if everything goes as planned, we're looking at completion date on that project right around September 2012, with most of the work taking place next summer.
And as you said, this is just the very beginning of this project. And what are some of the positive results that will come from this, aside from meeting some DNR mandates? Is this going to clear up some problems that have been found along that line?
Well, yeah, and that's certainly the city's hope and intent is it. Right now, if you look at that stretch of sewer, when it deals with bypasses in particular, we feel that's a bottleneck in our system, and that's why this project was identified in our system. We're hopeful this project, along with our other projects with the mandates, will make a substantial gain on bypass events in the community. Namely, the two other projects that need to happen to make a significant difference is the new equalization basin the city's currently in the process of planning for and actually hopes to entertain a bid opening for that project relatively soon. The equalization basin will be an additional 7 million gallon holding tank for the city that's planned just north of the city's wastewater treatment plant. And also we have a new force main that we're looking to add on the eastern edges of town that should relieve a majority of our sanitary sewer system. And so, but those two repairs in conjunction with the sanitary sewer replacement project on East 3rd, we're hoping to make substantial gains on the bypass events. But just for the listeners' understanding, when we talk about long-term and eliminating bypasses in the community, ultimately that means attacking infiltration and inflows into the city sanitary sewer system. We're talking about sump pumps, roof drains, all those things that are putting clear water into the system that are leading to the bypass events. So, Shailen, just to summarize, we're hoping that these two improvements make some good progress on it and builds the city capacity into the system, but ultimately the long-term fix is infiltration and inflow to the system.
So when we're talking about bypass events, what we're really talking about is trying to prevent some backups and things like that when we deal with some major heavy rains like we saw earlier this year.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're talking about, Shailen. and what the city's plans are in initial phase one with the DNR is to build more capacity into the system.
And then moving along, of course, after the census came out this year, there were some different things that had to be worked around with the county and with the state as far as precincts go, mm-hmm. wards go, voting mm-hmm. districts, that sort of thing. And if you could just give us kind of a 500-foot overview of what the council went over last night as far as new precincts go.
Yeah, absolutely, Shailen. When we look at precincts and wards last night, for listeners, they may or may not be aware, but cities are required after every census to take a look at their ward boundaries and adjust them for population equality if you've had any changes. In our particular case, the city of Pella added roughly 350 residents over the past 10 years, and those 350 residents caused us to take a look at our ward boundaries and make population equality be amongst the wards. That's required under state law. We submitted a plan earlier this year that attempted to do that. The Secretary of State rejected our plan. The reason they rejected our plan is that we recently annexed an area in Fountain Hills. Portions of a census block was inside the city of Pella, and portions were in the Lake Prairie Township. So they rejected our overall plan, and they encouraged us, in order to fix this, to make an agreement or enter an agreement with Marion County where we create a special precinct for that. And under that precinct, we'd have an area in unincorporated Marion County that would actually be voting at a Pella precinct. And that's what was approved last night by council, was an agreement and a correction to our ordinance that adjusted for the Secretary of State's recommendation. It's important to note for the listeners, the area that we're talking about in the special precincts just north of Pella involves 79 Lake Prairie Township residents. And the biggest difference for them is they're simply going to be voting at Pella Precinct Number 3, which is the Memorial Union or the American Legion building in Pella. These 79 Lake Prairie Township residents will not be city residents. They'll be voting only in county residents, and they will have a special ballot. So that was ultimately the fix to this problem that was created by an annexation that recently happened, and it was based on a recommendation by the Secretary of State.
It's always important to get those things cleared up and let folks know exactly where they need to go to cast those important ballots.
Absolutely, Shailen. So from our standpoint, we're simply doing what the Secretary of State ordered both us and Marion County to do.
All right, so everything's in line, and as far as that goes, we're good to go. And Mike, that's really what I had for you today. So again, thanks for taking some time out this morning. We appreciate it.
Once again, Shailen, thanks for having me today.
Again, that was our guest, Pella City Administrator Mike Nardini, on today's Let's Talk Pella.